Welcome, this is Couples Counseling for Parents, a show about couple relationships, how they work, why they don't, what you can do to fix what's broken.
Here are our parents,
our dad, Dr. Stephen Mitchell,
and our mom, Erin Mitchell.
Hello and welcome to Couples Counseling for Parents. I'm Dr. Stephen Mitchell.
I'm Erin Mitchell.
And on today's show, we want to talk about a topic, Erin, you're going to introduce.
So if something that comes up a few times over and over and over, both, I mean, honestly, Stephen has told a lot of people, if you ever want to know what's happening in Erin's and my relationship or at our house, check our Instagram page.
Because she's just done a post about our real life.
But when something happens, both like in our relationship, and then we find ourselves talking about it with a lot of couples, which makes sense, right? If it's coming up, it's coming up. It seems to me like this maybe is something that we should just talk about.
Sure.
And one of these things recently has been, well, one of these things always, but something that just feels like it, the intensity feels important, is this idea of, I hate that I feel more at ease in my parenting when my partner is not around.
Yeah.
And exactly. I think most parents in any partnership feel this to some degree at some point. Certainly not all parents. We're not saying like you should or you better, or I don't mean like that. But it's something that comes up. And yeah. I think it's something people feel bad about.
Ooh, that's true.
So I try not to feel this. And that, I think, is where the problem happens.
And would you say, because I'm thinking, would you say that both partners might feel this equitably, or would it be the primary kind of default parent who feels it?
As the primary default parent, I feel like you should answer that question. No, because I'm the primary default, I think you should. I think I said that.
Oh, okay. Well, the reason I asked the question is because I don't think I have ever really thought to myself, man, this whole parenting business is a lot easier when Erin's not around. But I think you most certainly have felt this whole parenting business is easier when that guy's not in the room.
Okay, I'm going to read through.
That's
so
what I
posted on our Instagram page earlier in the week, a post about this. Then I put
is
it on
this
our
your
stories.
Answer to the question? Because well, I feel like you just went –
I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to come back to what you asked.
I feel like you're dismissing me.
I don't want to dismiss you. I want to pause you. Okay, so here it is. I'm going to read through it. And then because I do think I tried to have some of the things we hear from both the default and the non-default parent, because I do think both parents feel this sometimes, though I do think the reasons how and why and the intensity is different.
Okay.
Okay. So I think one of the major ones that we hear about is that when my partner's not around, I'm not hoping for their help. When they are, I am hoping for it and am often disappointed.
Ooh.
Okay, now your turn. Let's go over the other.
When my partner is around, I'm anxious I'm not doing it right.
When my partner is around, I feel like I can't be as attentive to my kids as I'd like.
My partner's often gone, and in the transition back to them being around, we all seem confused and disappointed. It's never like we expect it will be. I just think that we're just disappointed. We're just disappointed.
I mean, do you think that's wrong?
No, I don't. I'm laughing because I think it's true. I think our family has felt that way about me before.
But I think that we're gonna talk about more of these. Okay, parenting seems to stress my partner out. When they're around and stressed, we're all stressed. Everyone's more stressed out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I think that there's differences.
Yeah.
I think if you feel like this, I'm going to say this thing and then you can stop the whole show so you don't have to listen to the rest of it. If you feel this way, it does not have to mean something is wrong. It simply means something is important and worth talking about, worth investigating, worth exploring, worth sharing. How and what you share about that, though, matters a lot.
Ooh, that's right. So you're saying don't feel bad that you might feel this way.
You don't have to feel bad. I'm not trying to tell anybody what they should feel.
Well, it doesn't mean that there's something wrong
with your relationship. I think the feeling is important. No,
or your partner.
Yes.
Or you. it like this is a normative thing that happens. The key is how you talk about it.
Correct. And how you interpret it, which I think those are kind of one and the same.
True.
So if I interpret this like you seem to be stressed as a parent, so we're all stressed all the time when you're around. A few things I could interpret about that is you don't like parenting. You don't like being around our family. Right.
Or you're a problem. You make our family worse. Yeah.
Okay. So that's something worth exploring. I don't think that that's a thing that you just need to be like, now that I know that's what I think, whoo, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is like, whoa, that interpretation matters a lot and is worth saying. Like,
so let's take this one. This, the one I laughed at, because I think that it fits. My partner is often gone, and in the transition back to them being around, we all seem confused and disappointed. It's never like we expect it will be. Just a moment of self-disclosure here. You have said that to me before.
Did I quote myself?
You might have. And so this is an experience we've had before. And I think that to your point of how you communicate it and then how it's interpreted really impacts how this conversation goes.
So when this was a primary conversation in our house is when Stephen was working for 12-hour days and then an 8-hour day. And that was his short day.
Basically, I was just gone a lot.
He was gone all the time. But this is the thing. Very often, the reason this other partner is gone is for work. High demanding job. Or they travel for work, or military, firefighter, these types of jobs where there is understandably and expected prolonged
times away from
times
home.
Away.
Yeah.
The reunification is always, always this highly anticipated for us. Dad's home. Dad's coming. Two hours till
dad'll
dad's
be
home
soon.
1 hour till dad's home. And then it's like, dad's home. And it's just like,
you've let us all down. You've made this worse. Well, so this is how. So when this conversation wasn't going well between the two of us, and it was communicated, hey, when you come home, it feels worse, and we feel disappointed. We've been waiting. We've been excited. We've been looking forward to you coming back home. And then you come home, and it almost feels like it would be better if you didn't come home. So I think that's sort of what
I would never have said that.
No. But think about it. So
I would never have felt that either. We wish you wouldn't have come home.
Right. But I think how it gets interpreted is important. So that's the interpretation that I maybe heard. Like that's how I metabolized it.
I hear. I'm sorry.
That's how I took it into my.
I thought you were saying that's what I was. No. Wishing.
That's how I experienced it. And thus, think about that. I'm going to get really defensive, or my feelings are going to get hurt, and I'm not going to really hear what you're actually trying to say. And I think that happened. I think you expressed that feeling. I interpreted in like, oh, you wish I just wasn't here.
Okay, I think we can play this all the way out. But I think if you're being honest, and honestly, we talked to couples.
I'm trying to be honest. I really am. Every day I wake up and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to be honest today.
Are you finished?
Probably not.
at least you're honest.
Just all I'm saying. Just being honest.
We talk to this couple often.
Yes.
Because it's such an intense feeling, and it's confusing, and we love each other, and we don't want to feel like this. So, and I'm saying this couple, but like this type of couple, this couple who is having this interaction, they're not a particular couple. It's a mutual feeling. I think you come in the door, or the yous in this scenario, and you're like, I was expecting it to be great, and it also doesn't feel great for you. I don't think it's like I'm disappointed and you're not. I think we're both mutually like, this is not how we thought this was going to go. We didn't think there would be immediate tension. We didn't think there'd be immediate stress. We didn't think there'd be.
Yeah, you both thought it would go better.
Yeah.
For sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think it's just a like, I'm the only one feeling this way and you thought it was going great.
Right. No. Okay. I don't think I ever thought it was going great. I think I just. I think that it was always hard to kind of feel like – you know what it ends up feeling like is like you're not part of the group. Everyone's been having – and I think this is what was true for me. You know, everyone is together and, you know, having, you know, not that it's all magical, but like you're spending time with the kids and you're getting this time together and they love it and you're a great mom and, you know, it's wonderful and I'm gone. And I don't get that. I miss that. I, you know, and I'm gone because I got to go to work and,
for
you
us.
Know, yeah. And like, mm-hmm. And then I come home and what I really want is I just want to be a part of the group and I want to have fun too. And I want to have this connection with the kids. And yet also like I'm tired and I'm stressed and I can't, and I just, it's not working out the way I want it to work out. And then I get, and then you tell me it's not working out the way you want it to work out. And that's, and then it feels really, it just feels bad. And I think that like, and maybe that's not the way it is for everyone in this particular situation, but that's definitely the way it was for me, I think.
Well, I think that's exactly right. So I think there's some things that happen here. I think there's some hyper attunement that can be misplaced. Mm-hmm. So I think, I mean, again, we're just going to keep using our example because we're not talking about, we're talking about a feeling, right? So like yeah. for us, it would be primarily me and our two oldest waiting for Steven.
Right.
Now, waiting creates a feeling in kids, especially.
They love it. It's like, they're like, they wake up, you know, I wake up and say, I'm going to be honest. Kids wake up and we're like,
can't wait to have to exercise some patience today. Yeah. It's hard for them. Yeah. So by the time Stephen walks in the door, they're a little bit amped. They're a little bit like so excited to see you. Yeah. And they have 17 things they've been waiting to show you. And it's like, it all comes out. Right.
Yeah.
And that it can be a little
overwhelming.
Flood. Everyone gets flooded, I think, right. in different ways. And then I can be hyper attuned to how mm-hmm. Steven responds to that. And if it doesn't go like I was expecting, which to be
it
clear,
never did.
I have been regulating myself all day when I've been impatient Ooh. Or bombarded
or stressed or
stressed or our kids want to show me
yeah
things.
Yeah I've been over yeah I mean you're overwhelmed you're like but you've been dealing with it
I've been working through it and then I get even like the tiniest feeling that that might happen and I'm angry
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
then you sense that
and it's like oh great like I didn't do something right or I'm like
I think
you
that
know,
was
kind of micromanaged or
yeah, like, gosh,
you know,
I'm not allowed to walk in and feel like a little just want
right.
1 second
right.
to like, whew.
Right. Because yeah, I'm thinking like, I know you haven't been perfect all day. You know, I know you've been regulating and trying, but I mean, I'm sure no one, you've had the privilege of no one catching your bad moment.
So my feeling of this might activate the feeling in you of when my partner's around, I'm anxious, I'm not doing it right. So I get exactly. hyper-attuned to Steven and say,
and I could tell. I would walk in and I, like if I didn't have a smile on my face or if I for like one moment I didn't like immediately greet everyone with eye contact, like I would know that it was like over.
So I would love in this moment to be able to say I was not that
That's
exacting.
Not true.
but to be perfectly honest, I feel like this is a nervous system reaction meets a nervous system reaction. So like I wasn't like actively trying to like tick off those boxes of like eye contact, check. 3 second hug.
Sure felt that
check.
Way.
But like did sense, like if my nervous system sensed like he's stressed or he's already annoyed or he's anything other than blissfully happy that we have all greeted him with all of our energy. I was hurt.
Yeah. And I do recall moments of like driving home in the car, just thinking like trying to like, come on, you can do it. Like just, and again, you were not like that maybe makes you sound like you were like awful. You
but I
were.
Think that is the feeling. I don't mind the representation because of course that's not my intention, but I think that was the impact. I think that is what it felt
like.
Yeah,
make me anxious.
Just like you didn't walk in and like say like, ugh, you people.
Yeah,
like,
I was pretty sure I was going to get it wrong.
Yeah, and I think that's what we're talking about is the feelings of like, why can't you just be happy to be with us?
Yeah.
And they're like, great, I'm just going to get this wrong. And I think that is what we are trying to say to our partners rather than it's a whole lot easier when you're not here. Or like,
right,
you know what, why don't you take that extra shift? Or, you know.
Yeah. We're better off. We're you know what? I'll just do it. I'll just do it. You know, whatever.
I don't know why I do bother to come mm-hmm. home. You know, at least at work, people respect me. People are glad I'm around. Right. I have camaraderie. Like, I mean, these are things, are ideas of things we hear.
Yeah.
This feeling, and to some extent have said.
Right. And then that's where, you know, partners begin to feel isolated and alone and like they don't have a partner, a place to belong, or the partner that they want. And I think much of it is, again,
or the parent for their kid they want.
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes maybe I wouldn't get activated exactly, but if I saw disappointment in one of my kids' faces,
sure.
Same thing. My nervous system's at an 11.
Sure. Yeah. And again, I think the what you're talking about is it's how it's interpreted, it's how it's expressed, right? So I think where things have to shift in this conversation is, I think what you were saying is the thing that was maybe the most helpful thing for me, is when you're like, look, all day I've been here. We've been waiting. We've been excited. We've been looking forward to you coming. We miss you. We want you to be a part. Like our life and our days are better with you here. I, as a parent, have been working super hard to like kind of navigate the day. And when you come home in a way that feels like you're not equally excited or equally like kind of ready to engage, that, I think what you would communicate, that makes me feel worried. That makes me feel sad for the kids. That makes me feel whatever the feeling words might be there.
Which are going to be specific to your story.
Right.
I mean, this is a story and attachment that's true. Conversation. You're,
right, right. Mm-hmm. And what would you say the feeling words were specifically for you?
Kind disappointed. Of like, we feel disappointed.
Feeling like, okay, like, so you're making me, Stephen, when you come home that way, it makes me feel like you're disappointed. Disappointed in me, disappointed in the kids, in your life. You know, those kinds of things.
Like, this is just another stress in your day.
So you expressing those things
Hold on.
Oh, go ahead.
And really
more?
Mad.
Oh, more. There's more. There's more. Just being honest.
Really just mad because...
We've resolved this conflict, have we not? I mean, I feel like you're trying to stir things up.
I'll make stir it work. Up. that we were so excited. And like, well, that was foolish of us.
Oh, that you shouldn't have been. Ooh,
yeah, we should. Yeah. I should have tempered how much I wanted to see you. And I should have prepared our kids to
I
be
feel
like
silly for that.
I feel silly. Yeah. And I don't feel silly. I feel angry. I don't like that kind of disappointment, that kind of embarrassment, that kind of vulnerability. Yeah. I protect against hard and fast. And I'm just mad.
Right.
And so that comes out as, you're a problem. You made us feel this way. You did all these things. You came in.
Right.
You're.
But
and that's not fair. That's not true. Let me just be extra clear.
Right. But that's where
my protective strategy, but it's not healthy.
And that's where the conflict started and began. But when you're able to express it the other way,
tender.
That helped me go, oh, I get it. And then I was also able to express, you know what, like what I said, like, I am excited to be home. In fact, I feel so sad that I'm not here, that you get
the other times of the day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That I'm at work all day and I'm missing these kind of moments of connecting with you and the boys. And that when I come home, I'm tired and I'm exhausted and I'm like stressed out. And that, in a sense, what you get is that, like, that energy. Like, I hate that that's happening. And so when I feel like there's, I'm doing something wrong or I'm not doing it right, like, it makes me feel like I don't belong or like I'm not wanted here. And that hurts my feelings. And that is what generates my response.
So, what would you say your response? And I think it's important to say your reaction.
Yeah. My reaction.
Reactions generate reactions. Responses generate responses. And so my big reaction of like, fine, never mind. I'll do bedtime. Mm-hmm. You clearly need some time.
I mean, I think I would just withdraw, get upset, or I might, you know. I think that's how it happened. Really, I don't.
I would have said further withdraw, but like, how does that look?
don't know. You tell me. I don't remember.
I think you'd engage with your phone. I think,
sure. Like, I would just get quiet. Just like
story.
Kind of go away.
Check the day's stats and scores. I have said 1,000 times, like, you're not even a person who loves sports as much as you seem to love sports. Like, what
big
is happening?
Sports guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I do like sports. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, if I'm being honest, I really do like.
I walked into that one.
Yes. But yes. So that would be my reaction. But you're expressing it in a way that is vulnerable allowed me to kind of find that vulnerable kind of understanding for myself. And then what that does is that shifts how I interpret what you're expressing. So that I know that next time I come home and let's say I'm stressed and Erin doesn't, you know, she's not a perfect person. And she comes with some energy. What?
I'm not.
You're not. Yeah. It's shocking to all. But you know, you're not a perfect person. And you might express something along these lines still, even after we have this great, lovely conversation of understanding. And what I can do is I can hear that and I can interpret it like, oh, this is what she's talking about. This is that feeling that she's having. And I can say like, hey, like me being on my phone when I came in the house, did it make you feel like you were silly for being excited? Like it did it, that kind of thing. And you can be like, absolutely. I can be like, totally. I hear you. My mistake. Or I can just say like, hey, this is, you know, it was a super important phone call that, you know, someone was telling me something really important about their life. And I just felt like I couldn't ignore it, whatever. And we can kind of move on from that moment and you cannot feel silly and I can feel like I belong and we can have a different experience.
Yes. I think when you just said that I was on my phone when I walked in the door, that is a thing. And I think being very clear about what we expect these coming reunifications, these coming backs, these transitions mm-hmm. back together to look like is so important. And it feels self-evident because it should be obvious. This is me talking right now. Stephen, it should be obvious that
you should be able to figure this out, Stephen.
Well, that's what it seems like. Because I'm like, that's basic human connection communication.
Not my experience. Like, I can't remember any experience in my life, my childhood or whatever, like where there were these great reunions with anyone coming and back home from the day. Like,
well, okay, so this is another important.
So that's
thing.
Why it's not self-evident.
I am also, you
know, just being honest.
The kid of divorced parents. So 3 times a week, I had a reunification with my mom. 3 times a week, I was gone. 3 times a week, I came home. And if my mom would have been on the phone when I walked in from having been gone for 2 days, it would have hurt my feelings.
I totally get that. That makes a lot of sense.
Yes, but I think that these are the things that seem to make a lot of sense. And there's
I need to know.
Yes.
That I need to know why there's so much energy around it. And that you need to know, like, oh, like that was not Stephen's experience. Like no
I
one
think that's a
really
universal
greeted
experience. People I no just really like greeted I don't anybody. Think I needed that story to support that.
I'm just saying, like that wasn't how we did things. We did correct. Not greet people with warmth and smiles.
I'm aware.
In my home.
So I think, though, that saying, like, this is what you're walking into. If you are coming home from work, having been gone for 7 hours or 7 days or 7 months, or if it's 7 p.m., this is what I know. You're going to be walking into a hot mess of kids because it's bedtime and it's a hornet's nest. And I'm expecting...
The hornet's nest of kids. I like that.
I need me.
It's true. It's true.
But like, I am expecting that you're going to come in and you're going to wrestle for 7 minutes and you're going to like give them all your best energy because they're so pumped. And then you're going to help me shift everybody towards bedtime.
Sure.
Or, you know, I'm just.
Yeah, like, yeah. It's just being clear. Like.
Yes. And you're going to say it's 7 p.m. I've been gone for 7 months, 7 hours, 7 weeks. Doesn't really matter.
Yeah, no.
I'm going to be coming in tired. I'm going to be doing my best.
And this is the very conversation we had, I remember. And I think we've actually even shared this before on the podcast. And you were just like, look, I need you to come home. And I need you to come home with some smiles and some eye contact and some energy. And that was about based on this conversation. And that was I thought, a completely reasonable request. And I would coach myself up on the ride home. I'd be like, Steven, I know you're tired. I know you got a lot going on, but you know what? You can come in and
I can do anything for 11 minutes.
You can come in a different way. And to be quiet, I mean, like the way I want to come in, the way I want to be mindful about coming in and reuniting with kids and you, like it was a good thing. But I think some people can feel embarrassed, like that you have to like kind of talk yourself through that. Like I do not feel embarrassed that I had to do that. Like that's what I had to do because I don't know.
But that's the way it was. It's important for you to share what's happened in your life, not just to hear. Yes,
sure.
I'm glad you're like taking what I'm saying from our end.
But right.
My point is that there has to be a shared communication about how we're all coming back together.
Yeah, and so my expression would be like, look, I've spent all day dealing with people who are in very intense interpersonal
crises
and situations. I've been managing multiple people and all kinds of sort of levels of leadership and things like this. And I've been talking and in front of people and doing therapy all day long. And I am an introvert. And so that has ruined me for the day. So I'm coming in just sort of spent. But that doesn't mean I can't, you know, make those adjustments. But for you, that being helpful for you to know so that you, you know, kind of like, oh, you know, I get maybe why his face looks so tired right now.
So I think having like a global understanding of like, this is the feeling.
Yeah.
And this is something else that we hear all the time. I think I'm adding a whole nother idea, but I'm going to try not to.
Don't do it.
I'm going to anyway.
It's so confusing. We're on this topic.
So what I was most aware of was that I was angry. And that is what I've communicated a lot of the time that never generated any movement in this conversation. And I would say, I'm sharing what I'm feeling. Because it's true. I was feeling angry. But that is not the layer, the vulnerable. Yeah. And I think that's what we're trying to say. Like to get to a generative, productive, connective conversation in this conflict means both partners. Because I think I almost said to your point, but I said it. So yeah.
Double
down what I said.
Because
I think we're both feeling this. I think we're both feeling some level of dis-ease, some discomfort around this. To both think about what's going on. Like, I think when you said, like, I feel left out. Yeah. And I come in and I'm like, I'm not a part. Like,
yeah.
I just created stress and chaos.
And you're like, it'd be better if you weren't here. Ooh, just like right in that, you know, core place of like, oh.
Neat.
I guess I'm not a part. Yeah.
And I think a lot of default parents, the person who's there, already feels alone. Yeah. So you come home and it's like, now you're physically present and I'm just as emotionally alone. That hurts.
That does. And I think that those are the kinds of things that you have communicated to me that feel very impactful to me. Like those are the kinds of things, like I might not remember a lot of things that we talk about.
Just being honest.
I'm listening about 33% of the time, but that 33%, when you share those like nuggets of like really how you're feeling, like those resonate. Those,
because
like,
partners care.
Yeah.
Partners cannot hear. 33%
of the time. Just being honest.
Well, if I'm just being honest, the other parts are probably when there's like anger and defensiveness.
Sure.
Right? Like protective strategy meets protective strategy. Reaction. But when we're talking about like, this is yucky dynamic we've got going on right now. Like, I think we both feel like this is a garbage situation and we make each other feel bad. What is going on?
Yeah.
I'm hurt. I'm sad. I feel lonely. I feel left out. Those places we care about. Steven can never tell me. I'm going to say never. Maybe I don't.
When I'm listening 33% of the time and I hear a nugget like that, I care 100% of the time.
It's neat. Yes. I just mean what we communicate, how we communicate matters. Yeah. Your feelings that something is important, they are. Now, how we interpret that and how we then communicate that matters to how this conversation is going to shake out.
Yeah, yeah. And so
it's really common if you feel any of these things or your own version important. That's just information yeah. that you're trying to find some connection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so there, again, how you explain this and the feelings behind it really shapes the interpretation of it. And
I think that's the wrong order.
Oh, boy.
The feelings behind it, then how you communicate that.
Say, all right, then say the order.
Well, I think you have to
be honest for the listeners and tell them
the, in case the this order. Is the 33% of the time they're listening. Yeah. I think we have to know first. I think we need to not just share our reaction.
Know how we feel mm-hmm. first.
Recognize we're having a reaction and then ask ourselves before we share our reaction and then invite a reaction. Like, I'm having a reaction. Mm-hmm. What is happening?
And
something
the idea
is important.
Yeah, like I'm noticing that I wish you weren't here. Okay, so I'm not going to lead with that. What I'm going to do is think about like, what is it about them being here? Or like, what is the feeling that is generating that reaction? I wish you weren't here. And sharing that feeling.
Correct.
Is what helps you access. Like the
vulnerability is matched with vulnerability.
Yeah, there, you said it. Truth.
Today's show was produced by Aaron and Stephen Mitchell. If you're enjoying the podcast, please hit the follow button and leave us a rating. This helps our content become more visible to others who might enjoy it, and it lets us know how we can keep improving the show. And as always, we're grateful for you listening. Thanks so much for being with us here today on Couples Counseling for Parents. And remember, working on a healthy couple relationship is good parenting.